The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Once again, more with Bill Meyer.
Well, we dodged a few bullets last night. Wasn't perfect, but definitely a number of bullets were dodged in last night's, at least the preliminary count that we have going on with the elections. Anyway, join the conversation here about it, too. 770-563-3770. KMED, and you can always check in with email too, and I read all the emails, try to answer as many as I can, email Bill at BillMyersShow.com. But yeah, primary elections, I was just on pins and needles about this because we have been banging the gong on the county races and on the county measures for months now, weeks and months. Because realized just what an incredible attack, what an awesome attack that was being waged here, mostly by Democrats in Jackson and Josephine County. And it would appear that for the most part, it has been turned back. And that was the big one. And we do have some news on some of the county commission races, DA, and various other things. Why don't we just touch on some of those. Now, remember, we're in preliminary. These are just the unofficial preliminary counts, the first one or two counts that came in, like 11 o'clock last night, I think was the last count. And there could be some more updates over the next few days because there are going to be some more votes coming in by mail. How many vote by mail are coming in? I noticed that someone on Facebook said, hey, I mailed my ballot from Eagle Point, you know, yesterday or Monday or whatever the case might be. And so, yeah, that'll get counted, but it'll probably get counted, you know, 2 or 3 days from now. So I'm glad you voted, but I really don't like this. Hey, let's wait another week after Election Day to continue to see, you know, how many dribble in after that. But, hey, you know, that's just kind of the way this breaks right now. Let's see. Some of what is going on here does look like Cliff Bentz is cruising easily, most likely to re-election. Jason Beeb ended up getting about 20%, 18, 20% of the vote. But, you know, it's interesting that that Congressman Bentz has a pretty good percentage of, shall we say, not true believers there. I'm sure he's looking at that and thinking about it this morning. Maybe you're thinking, 20%, just malcontents. Well, we'll see about that. Dan Ruby will take him on and probably go down to lose honorably from the Democratic Party in November. You know, kind of looking at it that way. Dennis Linthicum is he won handily as a Secretary of State rep, and he's going to be running as a Republican against Tobias Reed. Tobias Reed, a very smooth talker with lots and lots of money. It's going to be a high lift. We'll talk with him about that at 7:35. By the way, Diane Linthicum ended up winning her state Senate candidacy race I got that in here someplace. Well, I'll find it. I've got, like I said, I probably went to sleep last night about 11 o'clock. I was on pins and needles. We're looking at the results, and then the text messages and the phone calls start going. And you know what it's like when you're tired and wired? One of those kind of things. You're tired, you're sitting in bed, but, you know, you just can't let it go. But anyway, Linthicum will be running in the fall. Diane Linthicum, there's no Democrat opposing her for Senate District 28, so she will most likely cruise. Now, you could have an independent or somebody, some other party could be nominated, or you could run as an unaffiliated candidate against her in the fall. It could happen. You know, we don't know. It's happened before. I know it happened in a Jackson County commissioner race at one point. Now, the measures in Jackson County, 15224, this is the nonpartisan commission. It went down, or it is still going down right now. Like I said, these are all preliminary counts, but it's 56% to 43%, 56% no, almost 57% no, and the margin is about 8,000 votes. Are there going to be 9,000 yes votes that come through? Doubtful, but, you know, that's the way it is looking right now. 15-225, the number of commissioners, this was a big one. This went down about the same percentage, 54.5% to 45%. No ended up winning on this one. Margin of victory about 5,000, or the margin, rather, about 5,000 votes between no. So that's probably going to hold. Now, 15-226, the Jackson County Commissioner's salaries, cutting it to $75,000, that one 63% to 36%. And that is the dumb voter vote, in my view. And I talked about that there yesterday. First off, I don't think it will matter because I do believe it was tied to 15-225. If 225 didn't pass, then the salary doesn't pass. But even if it had passed, Josephine County tried this a number of years ago, and you can't change the salary by a vote of the people. It has to be done administratively, not legislatively. That's the way that goes, okay? But still, this is the, you know, I think there's, I had mentioned this a little bit yesterday. I think there's a little bit of this, there's this envy. We go, well, that's making a really good salary. It's too much, and they should be doing it for nothing because they're public servants. You know, I hear that kind of dumb talk a lot of times. You know, I get the, you know, why aren't they just doing it for free? And then I would say, okay, you have a family, you're doing this, you're all this, and you can do it for free. You would do it full-time for free, right? You just do it for free. You know, this this cut off the nose to spite the face thinking about elected official salaries is disconcerting because it does show a lack of thinking through something. Because look at the way it works right now in our city councils. In our city councils, we have a lot of people who are volunteers, well-meaning. They have to have full-time jobs. There's no money connected to it. But yet there is a crushing workload to do this. So you have every other person within the county and city governments that's making a great salary, PERS benefits, and all the rest of it. But the voters expect people to have great policy people who understand it all and know how to deal with the staff and to get proper policy put in there. And you're supposed to do it for cheap or for free. And yet everybody else, it's like, you know, you have the city councilors and everybody else, they're going out there, essentially elected ribbon cutters. And then the staff ends up running roughshod over all the elected yet unpaid people because they're just going to listen to the staff. City councilor, you know, it's practically a full-time job in many of these larger cities as far as what you have to do. But we expect you to just do that and also do your regular day job. And, oh, yeah, understand everything while you're dealing with the six-figure per salary person who ends up being your city manager. You know, the Brian Showtunes of this world that don't give a crap what the city councilors are coming in and going because you're unpaid. You're not going to pay as nearly as much attention as me. I know Brian retired, by the way, but I forget who the city manager is right now. But that's the racket system that we have set up. You know, the voters are saying, yeah, I want you in there and I want you not paid anything or else we're going to pay you cheap, a fast food salary, fast food manager salary. And we want you to be perfect, too, on top of that, or else you better do it for nothing. But, oh, yeah, I know we have to pay all the other professionals that actually run the system, but we know that you getting paid nothing will attract the best people, right? Ugh, what idiocy. What idiocy. You know, when you try to get everybody to do everything for nothing, you end up getting either power-hungry people looking to jump up to the next political job that they can get a you know, a good high five or six figure salary, you know, to do, or you get someone that's looking to be just politically ambitious, or you have retired people with lots of time on their hands, or rich people who can afford to do it for nothing, and they do it for public service or whatever it is, or for ego. You know, that's what you end up getting a lot of times. But I know we'll probably disagree on things like this, but I've been barking about this, the need for stipends and things for years and years and years, but they should do it for nothing. Yes. Being a public servant should be like slavery. It should be horrible, gut-wrenching work. I know. Okay, you want to punish everybody. But be that as it may, the $75,000 salary thing will most likely not stand. Okay? All right. What else do we got going on here? Let's take a look. Ashland City Recorder will be an elected position from the looks of it now. And the Ashland Sergeant-at-Arms one for the police department, that ended up passing too. Reasonable request, all right? Evans Valley Fire District levy, that ends up passing. That's pretty good news for that fire department here. Josephine County Commission, let's take a look at what we got here. So Chris Barnett, it looks like it's going to be Chris Barnett and Colleen Martin running for position two in November. Nobody got 50% plus one in Joe County on this in position two. Position three looks like it's going to be Pat Fahey and Ron Smith. Now, Ron Smith and Nathan Gonzalez, we're kind of in this dogfight there, but Ron ended up edging Nathan Gonzalez by about 3%. Now, if that holds, it's going to be Ron Smith against Pat Fahey in the fall. So you have a not-so-conservative against a conservative is what that would be, all right? 17-116, Josephine County, replace the Josephine County Charter and blow that up like we've been talking about, down in flames. So, not even close. No three-fingered idiot voting going on in Joe County on this one. It's 66% no, that will most likely hold. Now, if you were hoping to get the animal shelter paid for, that did not happen because it looked like nobody was in the mood yesterday for giving any more money to the government folks. So 59% no, 40% yes on the animal shelter, so no wins the day. And the Three Rivers School District school bond, you know, this big school bond for re-roofing and security changes, that also down in flames, 68% no. And I think a lot of people took what Richard Emmons was talking about to heart. Richard Emmons, the publisher of the Oregon Eagle, he came on the show and was talking about Three Rivers School District has lost about a third of its student population over the last few years. People have been voting with their feet into different districts or maybe private school, homeschooling, things like that. And yet they're coming to the voters for tens of millions of dollars to re-roof and maintain all of these buildings when really what they should be doing is closing some schools and consolidating them and putting more of these students in fewer buildings, which, of course, is very politically challenging. You know, parents don't like that. They like their neighborhood school. But I think the most damning stat that Richard Emmons talked about the other week was mentioning that every student in the Three Rivers School District has $30,000 in costs associated with each and every one of those. You take the budget and you divide it by the number of students, $30,000 a year per student in the Three Rivers School District. And I have a feeling that the taxpayers were not in the mood to make that $32,000 or $33,000 per year per student. This is the Bill Myers Show. What's on your mind? 770-5633. Eric Peters will join me. Wheels up Wednesday. We'll talk with Herman about some of the state and local votes here, too, after 7 o'clock. We have State Senator Linthicum and presumed next Senator Linthicum, Diane. We'll talk with them both, give them a little congratulatory talk. And Kevin Starrett is ready to blast loose on some of the voting from yesterday, too. It looks like Oregon gun rights didn't have much effect. Oh, yeah, Christine Drazen bought her seat back from James Heap. Boy, what a corruptico. We got lots going on. We'll kick it all around, okay?
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience and thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope, to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center, and here's the deal people keep asking about. When will we have more F-150s? The payment of only $445 a month? The answer is right now. Lease a 2024 Ford F-150 crew cab for only $445 a month. Work, tow, play, haul in a new Ford F-150 for only $445 a month at Butler Ford. Nobody knows how to make a lease deal work on a Ford truck like Butler Ford. That's why businesses and individuals have been coming to us for years when they want a new truck at a low payment, like $445 a month on a Ford F-150 crew cab. Whew! I'm running out of time in this ad, but call and ask about the low lease payments we're having on our new Ford Escapes. Remember, Butler says yes to bigger discounts and rebates. Butler says yes to giving you more for your trade. And Butler says yes to $445 a month on a Ford F-150. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, hybrid, and electric vehicle.
36 monthly lease payments at 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade due at signing, excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer dock fee on vehicle cap cost of $42,884. On approved finance through Ford Credit. Offer expires 6/3/24.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
6:25. Yep, the election results going for the most part. It does look like Patrick Green is going to be the next district attorney of Jackson County. It wasn't my pick. I hoped that Alyssa Bartholomew would have gone in there. And it wasn't that I thought that either of them were unqualified, but I looked at it as a management position. And I thought Patrick's kind of young, and there's been a lot of chaos in the DA's office, but it looks like the voters disagreed, and so they're sending him in there. I'll have to talk with him about that, though, because a lot of people have left the DA's office. Yeah, a lot of people have left the DA's office. Judge Orr does look like he's going to be returned to office. I was sorry to see that happen. But it's just, that's just me. Johan Pietila doesn't appear to be making it in there. And Christine Herbert did appear to get her judgeship nod in there. Like I said, it's all preliminary at the moment. Let's talk with Lauren. Hello, Lauren. What's going on?
I think you got one to talk to Lauren.
Yeah, this is Lauren.
Okay, I didn't hear you say so. Anyway, yeah. First off, I think I got a write-in win for PCP for out here in Eagle Point.
Well, good for you.
From what I see, because I'm looking forward to that part, Republican Party, of course. But I was thinking the reason people voted yes on cutting salary is because they saw that as causing higher taxes. And we are so anti-raising taxes. You hear what I'm saying? Even though that's not what it was about.
But you see, that's like I said, though, this is pretty stupid thinking because Jackson County taxes don't go up. Jackson County taxes are still the same as they've ever been, $2.01 per thousand. No. That's what it is. You know, that's what the county commissioners are paid out of. So there we go.
No, I don't think it's realistic at all. Of course, I knew it wasn't going to happen anyway, or at least I felt it wasn't, because if you defeat the other two, then that's a moot point anyway. So that's what I liked about the whole thing, and we'll just see what happens in the days ahead now, come November. Huh?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting time, my friend, but thank you for the call, all right? And good to have you in there as PCP. Deplorable Patrick's here, too. Hey, DP, what's going on?
Good morning, Bill. Hey, on the subject of pay for county commissioners, whenever this kind of thing came up, my dad had a favorite saying. My dad was a pretty good deplorable, too. His favorite saying when it comes to this kind of subject is, you pay peanuts, you get monkeys.
Hey, but you see, you're right. That's just it. People, and there is this, I don't know if it's the politics of envy or something like that, because the salaries aren't bad for that. But, of course, all the salaries for all the other workers within the government, it's okay if you have your administrator or your city manager making $130,000, $550,000, but you want everybody who's supervising them working for nothing, right? And you're going to get the best people and the smartest people there, right?
That's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, it really is. I appreciate the call. I do think there's a lot about I think it is about the politics of envy, though. Well, I'm not making that much money. I get it. I understand. I'm not making that much money either. Hi, Holly. How are you? You're not making much money either. It's good to welcome back there. Not a bad night, huh?
Volunteer. I'm a volunteer and a happy volunteer. Yeah, I was happy about how things turned out last night. You know, and the one thing that stands out for me about last night was that the lobbyists, Big Pharma, all these folks had really tried very hard to make the decisions for our county about and districts and so forth about who to put in.
Oh, they were so big on Christine Goodwin and the various other people, Dave Hensley over in Senate District, you know, the huge money, huge lobby money going into those things.
Between those two alone, $500,000.
I know.
I mean, this was a really, I mean, they really had an idea who they wanted to put in the caucus and the lobbyists. They were going to decide what they wanted for our county. And our citizens said, no, you're not.
Yeah. The one downside of last night's voting, though, is Christine Drazen managed to purchase her seat back from James Heap. And I was disappointed to see that. But you knew she was probably going to get that because she just had such a boatload of money. And as we said before, money is not everything, but you can't ignore it either. It's not nothing.
Well, a name recognition, you know, people do know who she is. And so she got in there. And I know a lot of people, we were all pinging each other all night last night. I don't think I got much sleep. But
none of us did. None of us did. So right? now the battle, though, comes for, you know, it's kind of interesting. So Ron Smith and Pat Fahey, right? Is that what they were saying?
Well, we've got to see how that all rolls. I mean, Ron, I'm thinking that's the direction it's going to go. But it's going to take a couple days because Ron Smith and Nathan are really close.
Yeah, like 2-3 points apart. It's not very much, you know?
Right. In that particular race, the party didn't endorse either one of them because you have to reach a 2/3 threshold within our party for the party to endorse.
Yeah.
So now what's going to happen is whoever prevails, we will get behind that person. And when what we have also showed is when the party gets behind someone, even if, you know, the lobbyists and everybody is throwing a bunch of money at them, we can, you know, we can help them get across the wire.
Yeah. Chris Barnett and Colleen Martin on position two. Looks like that's going to be the battle in November.
Right. Looks like that'll be the battle.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the numbers, I think we've got a good chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ron Smith is a very good candidate. I really like Nathan Gonzalez. I think it's going to be very interesting what happens. And you know what else? I think we need to get Republicans out to vote. The primary is one thing, but this general election, we're going to have a lot of Republicans out to vote in our county, and that's going to make a big difference. And we're going to work very hard to get the vote out for the November election.
It astounds me to talk to some conservatives, Holly, and to find out, you know, people that I know, doctors, things like that. Have you voted yet? Gosh, where's my ballot or something like that? It's like the easier that the state, through its Democrat control, makes it to vote, the less urgent it seems to be for so many people to vote. They're just thinking, somebody else will take care of that. And then the Democrats win with that kind of attitude about it. You know, you have to treat it seriously. Appreciate the call, as always, and we'll stay in touch, all right? 6:32 at KMED, KCMD. Let me grab another quick call. Wheels Up Wednesday. We'll be kicking off here with Eric Peters at EP Autos in just a couple. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Morning, Bill. Bob Shand in Medford.
Bob.
Brian Schoenstuhl, city manager, does not retire until December.
Oh, really? I thought he retired last December. Sorry about that.
No. Up and coming. And we won't know who the new city manager is probably until a week before the city council votes on it. Mm-hmm. And then he might have 2 minutes to comment on what little information is provided. I hope they like sports.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure we'll probably the next thing that will happen is that there will be some huge municipal baseball stadium so that we could attract some because it's always for tourism and filling motel seats and hotel seats, you know, that kind of thing and rooms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't agree on the volunteerism for city councils, and this week is probably not the best week to get into it in a 15-second spot. But at some point in time, it'd be nice to have, at least a 2-minute conversation on that.
Well, you and I are never going to agree on this because yeah. People get, yeah. You get what you pay for. And
okay.
when you choose to professionalize your staff and you have everybody in the actual unelected staff making huge salaries and being able to devote all their energy to it, they're not worried about it, and then you expect a bunch of volunteers, you are probably one of the rare exceptions. But to devote essentially a full-time job to it, it doesn't work out well. And I don't think it's worked out well in the Medford City Council. You look at the Grant Stream funding thinking that has been going on. right?
Well, look at the makeup of the city council. We have an attorney on that I don't think is running again, but don't quote me on it. And, you know, his salary is north of $400 an hour that he charges for his fees.
But you see, that's what I'm getting at. The only people that can do the job are either very wealthy, comfortable people, you know, or else very poor people on welfare. You know, I think it's kind of where we're looking at it right now. Anyway, conversation for another time. Okay?
Okay, Bill.
All right.
We'll do.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. It's 6:34.
Since 1979, Dusty...
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
6:39, Wheels Up Wednesday kicks off when you have Eric Peters, automotive journalist at epautos.com on the show. Eric, welcome back. We're all a little bleary-eyed this morning. Was up late with the election results and the text messages were flying, and looks like at least Jackson and Josephine County protected themselves from being divided and sliced and diced by the collectivists. But so that was reasonably good news. Not perfect, but better news than not. So at least
Yeah, you got to take it where you can find it. You know, on my end, on the other end of the country, I've had a very enjoyable week driving the Ford Maverick, and I'm looking forward to getting the Subaru BRZ when they pick up the Maverick tomorrow.
Okay, let's talk about that first, because I see a ton of Ford Mavericks on the road around here in Southwest Oregon. And something tells me that, that there has to be something really good there for them to be so popular. Why don't you give me the latest on that model?
Well, there are several good things. Where to begin? Okay, let's start with that it's affordable. And then let's go into that it's practical. Basically, what it is a reintroduction of the compact-sized truck that Ford used to sell called the Ranger. They still sell a truck called the Ranger, but now it's a mid-sized truck. And if you look at it dimensionally, it's very comparable to the size of a full-size truck from back in the 90s and the early 2000s, and it's priced accordingly. These mid-sized trucks all start around $30,000, $34,000. The Maverick starts around $23,000, but it's not just the money. It's got a reasonable step in height. You don't need a ladder to get into it. You can reach in the bed. It's immensely practical, and they offer it with a hybrid drivetrain that will get you 40 miles per gallon in the city. So no wonder people are buying this
thing. Oh, my God. Yeah, with the hybrid. So what is it? I imagine the standard power plant is probably a four-cylinder, right?
Well, in both cases, yeah. Mm-hmm. When Ford introduced it, it actually came standard with a hybrid drivetrain. That was back in 2022. Mm-hmm. Now they've made the formerly optional 2-liter turbo engine the standard engine, and the hybrid is a $1,500 option.
How's the durability been on the 2-liter turbo? Just curious, do you know?
Well, you know, essentially this vehicle is based on the same platform as the Ford Escape, which they have made and sold a gazillion of.
Oh, yeah, there's been, millions of those on the road. So, all right, so it's a pretty proven power plant bit is what we're saying. I'm always just asking, you know, anytime you hear the talk about, well, we have a little four banger that we're going to turbocharge the daylights out of, and we pray for the best. You know how that's been going.
You know, Ford can't stamp these things out fast enough, and I find it a very interesting juxtaposition relative to the Lightning, which, of course, is the electric version of the F-150, that Ford can't get rid of. And it's, you know, they've got inventory stacked up, and the dealers are saying, no mas, please, like Roberto Duran back in the 80s.
And what the people are saying is that Ford Maverick, give us as many as you can build, right? And
they sold more than 220,000 of them so far. Would probably be able to sell twice that many if they would close the F-150 Lightning line and convert it over to building Mavericks.
But this all has to do with the CAFE standards and carbon, right? This is what this is all about. This is why, in fact, Ford Maverick actually probably makes money for them. In the EV, what, they're losing $30,000 on every...
Oh, no, $100,000. The latest figure is $100,000 per each EV. Now, I'm not sure whether that excludes the Mach-E so-called Mustang, which is an electric crossover, but those are the only two vehicles that are electric that Ford currently sells, and the reporting is that they lose $100,000 on each one they make.
You know, my son just went to work for the Ford dealer in Bend, where he lives, and so he was at the Hyundai dealership, and so they ended up switching dealerships. I'm going to have to ask him how those EV trucks are moving. I'll ask him and get back to you. But something tells me that even in semi-liberal Bend, it may be a bit of a problem there, because it's not that it's a bad truck. It's just that it's not what I think most people want a truck for. Lots of grunt
and also range. A bad truck.
You know.
Who wants to buy a half-ton truck that has the standard range for the one that costs, I think, about $55,000, that's the base price, is ridiculous. It's something just a little over 200 miles, and that's what they claim. It's actually less than that. If you use it for any kind of work, forget about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's not a practical vehicle, whereas this Maverick is immensely practical. You know, I'm a huge fan of little trucks. I've got one myself. And if I were in the market for something new, I would be looking at that Maverick.
Is the Maverick going to be part of a trend in which the other manufacturers are saying, hey, we really do have to have kind of this small pickup kind of thing? Because the one thing that we've all noticed, we've talked about this, is that the gargantuan size of your standard half-ton or three-quarter-ton pickup truck, it's like, what was I in front of yesterday? It must have been like a 2 or 3 year old Chevrolet and a Chevy truck. And it's a great truck, don't get me wrong, but I swear that the Chevrolet truck, the hood is as high as a standard door in the, you know, getting in and out of of the building.
It is.
Right?
Look, I am bigger than most men. I'm 6'3". And, you know, for me to get something into or out of the bed of a modern half-ton requires that I use the stepladder or a milk crate or something. I went and took the Maverick down to Lowe's, and I got myself a bunch of paver bricks. And, you know, easy. I could just put them in and take them out. I didn't have to stand on anything. It's just a really well-designed vehicle.
Are we going to see more of these type of vehicles coming from the other manufacturers, though? I think Hyundai has a version of it, don't they?
They've got something that's the Santa Fe, or I'm having a brain fart here, but it's similar to the old Subaru Brat.
Right.
Very comparable to that. And, of course, Honda has the Ridgeline, which is a notch above. You know, that's a mid-sized vehicle.
I don't see as many of those on the road, though, as I do with the Mavericks.
Yeah, they're more expensive. You know, the reason I think the Maverick is selling like hotcakes, literally, is precisely because it is so affordable. And you know, in the times that we live, people cannot afford to spend $35,000, $40,000 on a vehicle anymore, but they can't afford to spend $23,000.
Yeah, especially when you're looking at, 8 to 10% interest rates on your typical car loan. Yeah, it all costs.
And when you combine that with the, you know, the hybrid's 40 miles per gallon, I mean, that actually is a way to save some money. You know, normally when you buy a new car, that's a way to lose money. But in this case, it might be the opposite.
All right. So 2024 Ford Maverick, big thumbs up. Mm-hmm. You're liking that. And is it fun to drive, though? I have to ask.
Very much so. You know, in fact, we got into a discussion on the site about it. And even with the hybrid, the thing gets to 60 in about 7.5 seconds, which for some kind of historical reference, my Pontiac Trans Am muscle car, which came with a V8 engine and was considered fast back in 1976, is about as quick in factory stock trim as the hybrid version of the Maverick.
Okay, very good. So, good story, and glad to hear that. And what do you have coming for next week, by the way?
It's going to be a good 2 weeks for me. Last week and this week, I've got the Subaru BRZ coming up, which is the last Subaru that you can still get with a manual transmission. It's their little two-door sports car, comparable to a Miata, but it's a hardtop rather than a roadster.
Oh, that's going to be a fun one. Going to be a fun one. 6:47, we'll be right back with more from Eric Peters at epautos.com. I have to talk a little bit of the politics, because you ended up touching the third rail on EP Autos yesterday. And I was, in fact, I even commented in on it. And it has to do with this state of devolution, as you term it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, going down the QAnon, I don't know. I don't exactly know what you call the QAnon type line of thinking, but there's a lot of it going on right now. And you kind of blow it to smithereens. I really enjoyed that. Hey, if you have a question for Eric, a question about a car, comment, something on your mind, you can also talk to him also. 770-5633 on the Bill Myers Show.
Looking for a reliable roofing expert?
11 before 7, Wheels Up Wednesday. Senator Alan DeBoer, who I have the most greatest difficulty getting your last name sometimes, Al. Welcome back. Good to hear from you. You wanted to talk with Eric this morning?
I did. I've got two questions.
Sure. Go ahead.
First one is, Maverick's a funny name because we remember a Ford Maverick as a little thing. But is it a plug-in hybrid? Does it go only on battery for a little while? And then I have another question.
Okay. First question, probably if you're under 40, you will not remember the Maverick. The Maverick was a car that Ford made back in the 70s, and so they decided to reboot that name and apply it to a truck, which is a little awkward, but I'm willing to overlook it because the Maverick is such a thoroughly excellent and appealing little vehicle.
Yeah, in fact, I recall the original Maverick was built on the Ford Pinto chassis, wasn't it?
It was available as a coupe and as a sedan, and it was actually a very successful vehicle for them, but a very different vehicle than the current Maverick. As far as the hybrid, no, it's not a plug-in. It's just the kind of hybrid that you drive. And the system will cycle the gas engine off when it's not needed, like when you're stationary and not moving, or when you're coasting and decelerating.
Did that answer all the questions, Al?
No. Had the opportunity. Have you driven the new Chevy Silverado all electric yet?
I have not driven the electric one yet, no. I imagine it's probably very much like the Lightning, which I've driven several examples of.
It's not. I took one the other day down to Lake Shasta and back. Started with 91%, 440-mile range.
Wow.
And then we took an electric Blazer and put it on our huge trailer we use for car transport and towed that around for 300 miles. And we had the air on. That's over the Siskiyous and over the mountains. It's pretty impressive. So I look forward to you driving one.
As soon as I get the opportunity, I will report my experience with it as well.
Okay. All right. Hey, Alan, thanks so much for the call. Thanks. All right. We appreciate that. And Lunatic Fringe is here next. And let me get him on. Hello, Lunatic. You're with another Lunatic, Eric. We're all lunatics here.
Good morning.
Okay.
I have a year 2000 Mazda B3000. It has 312,000 miles on it. The engine runs great. Lately, I started having problems with the transmission. And to shorten the story, I took it to a local transmission shop yesterday. And all the repairs that they suggested for the transmission and the clutch come to just a little north of $7,000.
Wow. A B2000, huh? Wow.
Yeah. That's extraordinarily excessive. My truck, I've got an 02 Nissan Frontier, comparable, similar kind of vehicle. The clutch kit is about $300 for that thing. If you need a transmission, why don't you just find a good used one from a wrecking yard and have them put it in along with the new clutch?
I probably will have to go that way because $7,000 is just an awful lot of money.
Yeah. Now, Lunatic, I'm kind of wondering, was this for a complete rebuild and going through it?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it automatic or manual?
Even that is grossly excessive. You know, I've been looking into getting a rebuilt Super T10 potentially to put in my Trans Am, maybe 4-speed, and they go for about $2,000. And you can buy a Tremec 5-speed, which is a very heavy duty, high performance transmission, for what, about $3,500 the last time I checked.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, a transmission for something like an old Mazda pickup should not even be remotely that expensive.
All right. Hey, appreciate the call there, Lunatic. One thing I have to tell you, though, is that if you have a vintage car like that Vanagon of mine, you know, the Vanagon mm-hmm. diesel, which is kind of a unicorn, there were not that many of them made.
Yeah.
It cost me $3,600 to get that transmission rebuilt a couple of years ago because of the fact that the parts are very rare now, and it's just, you know, there was a lot involved, you know, in that.
Well, sure, but, you know, that Mazda pickup, they made a gazillion of them, like the old Ford Ranger and like my mm-hmm. Nissan Frontier.
Yeah, and you'd probably be better just getting a good used one at this point in time.
That's not a bad idea. But then again, if the truck itself is in really good shape, you know, I'd certainly put, say, $3,000 into it if you're going to get another 5 or 10 years out of it.
Yeah, that'll make it, it'll pay for itself, really. Let me go to line three here. You are on with Eric Peters. Who's this? Go ahead.
Hey, this is Bob again. I love autos. Eric, I got a quick quip and a comment. The quip is I've got a pair of Maverick fender badges if anybody wants to retrofit them on their truck. Yeah, I think it would look cool.
The comment is
the 0 to 60 standard, I believe, probably came into play because people wanted to get on the freeway and get up to mm-hmm. speed without causing an accident.
Yeah.
So when I look at the 0 to 60, I'm thinking, okay, how fast can I get on the freeway without getting slammed by a truck?
It's a measure of reserve power. That's how I look at it. You know, you don't want to have to, like if you've driven an old Volkswagen Beetle, you know, it takes a little bit of gumption to drive one because it literally takes that thing 30 seconds to get up to 60. So, you know, you're pulling out from a dead stop, let's say, into traffic. That can be a harrowing experience. You don't have a lot of margin.
Now, 0 to 60 on that van I was just telling you about, 45 seconds.
Yeah.
45 seconds. So
not a joke. That's actually true.
people laugh and I say, no, it's 45 seconds. So you drive it as if you are a semi. You just behave as if you're a semi truck, except without the ability to force people off the road, you know, if you end up coming onto it. All right. Hey, Eric, before we take off, I wanted to talk about your latest political piece there. And we have to go down here. This is almost the for years now. I've been talking, people who I respect deeply go down the rabbit hole of, now some would call it the QAnon trail, and I would even, there would even be some of the national talk show hosts that I would have on my station that would talk about, you know, trust the plan. And I would listen to this and I'd go, what? Wait a minute. Trust the plan? Knock this off. But You actually went down this rabbit hole on a state of devolution, and it is well worth talking about. Could you kind of break down a little bit of what, maybe people don't even know what I'm talking about when I'm saying the QAnon, and that there are the white hats and the black hats, and the white hats are letting the bad guys just take over and destroy everything right now, just so that they can be outed. I'm thinking, oh, would you stop it, people? You know.
Oh, I know. It makes my teeth fall out of my head. Devolution refers to a theory that claims that Trump actually is still the president, and there is sort of an emergency rump government that's being run by him in conjunction with the military, and it's all a big operation to expose the grifters and the evil people who have given us the COVID pandemic, the WHO treaty, and all of the rest of that stuff. And don't worry, everything's under control, and soon all of these people are going to be brought to justice.
And I remember in 2021, when January 6th things were going, and these people back then were telling me President Trump will be reassuming control and power in, I think it was June or July, is what they kept talking about. And I said, no, he's not. And then when June or July would come, and, you know, you wouldn't hear anything, and then it would be, well, it would be November or December, or, no, that's okay, it's going to be in 2024, but, you know, believe me, he's still really in control. Yeah, the guy who's being dragged through the court system right now in multiple states, right? He's really the one still in control.
If he's still the president, why is he running for president?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, where does this come from, though? Is it something where people are comforted almost, I think, by this?
I think that's it. The psychology of this is interesting in that with any, I hate to use the term because it becomes such a cliche, and in some ways it's a misused cliche, but conspiracy theory. There, in order for it to be a good one, there has to be an element of plausibility to it, you know, as in, that could be true. And then when you combine that with this desperate psychological hope to believe that there actually are white hats and that something is being done about all of the chaos and corruption and grift that's going on, it's easy to get wrapped up in that, you know, and it's what Mike Adams calls hopium, and a lot of people are smoking it.
Yeah, and it's when you even try to, well, one example that I've talked about, which has still not really been addressed by President Trump. Now, it's most likely it's going to be former President Trump against President Biden, or the guy who's running Biden. I mean, I don't, you know, whatever that case
whoever
might be.
Whoever feeds him the adrenochrome, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, that's another one. That's another one. Yep. Okay. But be that as it may, is he most likely a better choice than Biden? Yeah. Was it a great situation first time around? You know, there were some problems there, and I do find that the MAGA crowd does not want to face reality about the ups and the downsides of what happened last time around.
Well, I think, you know, one of the ironies is that on the left, you know, people on our side have criticized the left for seeming to crave authoritarianism, to be
right,
to be enthralled to a great leader. Well, the MAGA people are afflicted by the same disease.
Yeah, and it's flip sides of the same coin. So all we're just saying is think things through a little bit. Don't fall for the comforting thing. But I have to tell you, there are a lot of right wing guys, I think, that are out there that make a pretty good living peddling this stuff. I really do.
Well, yeah, that's the other aspect to it. There is money to be made selling people false hopium. It's a drug, and there are a lot of people who are addicted to it.
All right, so Eric, we appreciate you coming on. Anything else you wanted to mention that is just jumping out at you about cars, things that may be coming off, any additional political news here before we take off?
You know what I'd like to talk about next week if we have the time? I wrote an article about an interesting fact with regard to electric vehicles that most people don't know about, which is that you cannot pay cash to use a public fast charger.
No cash? Really?
No cash. They're entirely electronic. And in most cases, not only do you have to use a credit card or a debit card, you have to have an app on your phone in order for that to work.
Huh. Okay. This strikes me as yet another brick in the wall, so to speak, of the system will control your ability not only to fuel, but to drive and to also examine you and also keep track of where you're going at the same time. I can't help it.
You pretty much gave a synopsis of my article. If people would like to know more, it's up on the site.
All right. We'll delve into that further next week, okay? Thank you so much.
You bet.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Eric. Eric Peters, epautos.com, 7 o'clock at KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KCMD, Grants Pass at 99.3 FM.